Welcome back to the Hoops Temple podcast. I'm Aaron, as always, joined by Pablo Escobar and Montaigne. How are you guys doing?
He said Pablo first, but I will just say I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me back. And it's obviously a pleasure to be working with two of the best ball knowers on TikTok.
I'm doing even better than Montaigne. So what a blast.
It's competition. Who's doing the best?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a competition, but fine.
Everything's a competition. Well, guys, we're here for the Eastern Conference. We did the Western Conference, but let's go back for a second and just touch on some Western Conference things. The biggest thing and the biggest change that's happened is Steven Adams getting hurt. Now, when we first did our preview, I was like really high on the Grizzlies, like 50 wins, like they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. Then after the pod, I'm like, okay, like maybe the jaw, no Tyus Jones, like that actually will affect them. 46 wins. As soon as Steven Adams was done, I was like, fuck this, I'm out. Now I'm done. This team sucks, and they're going to be playing Xavier Tillman big minutes, and their front court is bad. Would you guys like to add to that?
I would just like to say I'm the meme that Joel Embiid posted of the guy at the funeral. I am happily praying on Memphis. I am praying on Memphis's downfall, and I told you this was going to happen. And if you think they're going to be bad just because they lost Steven Adams, you don't know ball. And RIP Bozos.
Thanks, Montaigne. Appreciate it. Now, it does suck, though, because Steve Adams is like a fun player to watch, a great character. It sounds like this is just a degenerative issue where it's not like, oh, he injured it playing. He just needed surgery.
Oh, really? I thought it was an ACL, no?
From what I heard, it wasn't like he had an injury or it was something that happened. Like, you know, a Derrick Rose injury, it was more like a Kawhi injury.
Yeah.
Where he's like, my knee's fucked up. You know, like when Grant Hill started having surgeries every other year and like the... In like the late 2000s, yeah. He's like, my knees are old, man. Like, I just can't do it. But looking at the...
That's not good.
The West, I don't think much else changed. Have you guys had any changes of heart in the Western Conference before we touch on the East?
No, I was not confident in my predictions when I set them, and I'm not confident in them now.
what a little flip-flopper over here. I don't know if I like that energy.
All I'll say is the Rockets might end up being the number one seed because Amen Thompson is unreal.
Out of the three of us, who was the biggest Rockets fan? Boys?
I don't know. Were you?
Let me check.
100%. I was like, they're going to sneak into the play. They could sneak into the play-in. 100%.
He knows ball.
You had him at 30 wins. At the time, I had him at 28.
That's more than you.
Okay.
That's too
now,
high.
And now mine, I have
mine had him like at the bottom.
Mine was an Ime Udoka bet. It wasn't good. An Amen Thompson bet.
Okay, but are you ready to match me, though? Because I have him at 33 okay. wins now.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to be pressured in then. 33 wins. I stick with my takes, but I'm just saying I have faith that the Rockets were going to be a really not only fun to watch team, but also sneaky good. That is what I said.
Part of it was just the Grizzlies breaking down. I'm like, everyone gets another win. You get a win. Everyone gets a win. Okay, but the Eastern Conference.
Wait, I do have one replacement take from my Western Conference weeks. I do think the Warriors are going to be better than I said because I watched a box out from Jonathan Kuminga clearing the lane for Chris Paul, and that was the best play I've seen all preseason. And I think Kuminga sneakily,
this is the year it's going to happen. The Kuminga, the
it's
come
year
bucket?
Three. It's year three. Yeah. I think come bucket could really come through if you know what I mean. And I have faith that he. Playing with Chris Paul is just going to elevate all the young guys, but Jonathan Kuminga especially. God, that play was awesome. Go Warriors.
I've been defending the Warriors on my page. Honestly, best thing to do in the world, post a video just talking about the Warriors being better than the Lakers and watch the fans fight in the comments. They fucking hate each other. They they're like, it's Denver, LA, nothing. Golden State, LA. I've had people go back and forth for 70, 80 comments. Like, they can't fucking stand each other.
Oh my God!
It's a tale as old as time. LeBron versus
good for
Steph
engagement.
Curry. Oh, it's great. He's an engagement farmer. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, that's true. Why the Warriors? We better than the Lakers from possible chairs. My possible chairs preseason power rankings. The triple P's. Okay, we're gonna start in the Eastern Conference. Now we're following my script, my standings, whipping you guys around. My 15th seed was the Wizards. Finally tore it down, Wizards, mediocre for 50 years, finally picked a direction. They have Jordan Poole. They have Tyus Jones. They have Kyle Kuzma. Those guys will combine for 80 games. They will be playing players you have never heard of before by April or by February, really. There will be guys so deep in the G League, you will have never heard of them ever. Those guys will be Washington Wizards by the end of the season.
I don't disagree with your take. I think there's a team slightly worse in the Eastern Conference, but they're the two bottom of the barrel teams anyway. We'll leave them unnamed for your rankings to remain mysterious.
Mysterious. Spooky rankings for Halloween.
I think it's just going to be the Jordan Poole Globetrotters at this point. And I think it's going to be funny to watch because I want to watch people hate on Jordan Poole because I actually really like Jordan Poole. And he's kind of a baller. And on this team, he's going to have the green light to do whatever the fuck he wants at all times.
He already was fighting with Denny Advia. He's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, I'm taking that shot. It's starting already. I saw a report that the Wizards are already like kind of rubbed the wrong way because he's like, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want.
I just saw him say today, like, I already got the ring. My legacy is
that's
set.
What we want to hear. That's what we want to hear from a 23-year-old is that he has nothing left to prove.
Yeah. But you know what I just found out last night? You had mentioned they'll be playing players we've never even heard of. I just found out that Adriana Lima is married to a former NBA player, and it's some guy I've never heard of. It's like some Eastern European guy. But I'm in the same boat as Montaigne, I think.
What did that have to do with the Wizards?
Because he said they're going to be playing guys we've never heard of, and then it started. Okay. but I'm in the same boat with it's going to be the Jordan Poole show, and that's either going to be a disaster or it's going to be like Kevin Garnett said, and oh my God, he's the next James Harden. But either way, they're off to a rocky start because I guess if you're him, why wouldn't you be entitled? It's like, hey, I was already the guy on a champion or one of the guys on a championship winning team. Now I'm coming to play with you trash down in here in DC. This is my team, Denny. Scoot down.
I do love that they gave Denny the extension. Like a day after, they're like, no, 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 like it's okay, like no fighting. Here's a bunch of money. Like you guys, be cool with each other.
And Corey Kispert erasure, like what's going on here? Literally,
is he the best looking player on the Wizards and in the NBA? It's a conversation.
The Wizards have
some
good looking guys.
The Wizards are a very good looking team.
That's true. Wow. Jordan Poole, Kyle
and they
Kuzma.
Have a history. They had Kelly Oubre. They have a rich history of good looking men.
Maybe good-looking men, maybe best-fitted team, or at least most controversial fits in the NBA. I think the Thunder get too much credit when it comes to getting fits off. Honestly, I think
Shea is really carrying over there.
But I think Shea, honestly, I don't think Shea's bad at dressing, but I think his fits get way too overhyped. I much prefer some other players. But yeah. Well, at least listen. Bottom of the regular standings, maybe best dressed team in the NBA.
We could make that pod. We could do that podcast. Best dressed. I was just sending my girlfriend SGA fashion pictures because I have him on my fantasy team, and I was like, see, like it's cool. Like you should pay attention to this. But she was into it.
You're not going. If I was 6'5", this is how I'd dress. Mm-hmm. Like this is what I'd look like.
I do have a question about the Warriors, though. In season tournament. Jordan Poole gets hot for like 10 games. Do they win the in-season tournament?
It's possible. And please join me on this. I'm taking the in-season tournament very seriously. I'm adding it to legacy 100%. Discussions. I'm going all in. So if he wins, I'm saying he's better than Draymond all time.
I think it is going to... The in-season tournament is going to be one of the best things to happen for like the small market teams because you know the teams that know they don't have title shots, they're going to go all out for it because it's really not going to affect anything else in terms of their overall record. And like they're still probably going to be bad in the grand scheme of the season, but they'll have a nice little win on the resume. It'll look really cool.
Yeah, they have confidence right now. They're like, we're not going to be that bad. But then 2 months into the season, they're like, oh my God, we are that bad. But they don't know that yet.
What makes stuff like that cool, like the midseason tournament, is just time and legacy, like builds to it. I think people, when they see it for the first time, they're like, it's a different thing. It's a midseason tournament. Who cares? But in like 5 years, people are going to be talking about why LeBron doesn't have any midseason tournament MVPs and why like,
oh my God, I'd love that.
Like they're going to be getting, like, it's going to matter. And I'm going to push it as hard as I possibly can because I'm into that kind of stuff. But just some other notes on the Wizards. Lost Bradley Beal, lost Monte Morris, lost Kristaps, added Patrick Baldwin Jr., Danilo Gallinari, Tyus Jones, the GOAT Mike Muscala, Jordan Poole, and Landry Shamet. Finally, Landry Shamet doesn't have to miss open threes for a playoff team. Now he's going to miss open threes for one of the worst teams in the league. Maybe this is his breakout year. There's no pressure anymore.
Landry Shamet just overall good dude, though. Like, he's kind of been through it. Like, he's been on some very star-facing teams in the past couple of years. I think it's going to be nice for him to be out of the spotlight. Everything. Yeah. Also, the Tyus Jones, I wish Tyus Jones went to, like, a contender. It would have just been, what a waste. What a goddamn waste. Just like, what's he doing on the Wizards?
I promise you he will be, eventually. Give it, like, 6 months. Him, Corey Kispert, Gallinari, all these guys are going to be on the trade block. And they drafted Bilal Coulibaly. We're all Coulibaly fans here.
Oh, you know, I was famously a doubter pre-draft. Like, I had him, like, I think I had him in like the 20s on my board. But I celebrate being wrong. When his defense is pretty nasty, but I'm just worried that the offense is too like non-dynamic. But we'll see. Hopefully, he gets there.
What I'm really nervous about. There's two ways young teams can go. It's like the fun, no pressure way, and you get better, or it's like the Houston Rockets way. We learned recently that it actually being a young team can be bad. Usually it was just like, hey, he'll get his shots, he'll get his reps, he'll get practice. But what the Rockets have been the past few seasons is so like just beyond basketball, beyond professional limits. It was pick up basketball in nice jerseys, basically. Hopefully the Wizards situation doesn't get to that point and these guys can develop. I don't know if Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma are good captains for that, but we'll see.
I feel like we just spent an abnormal amount of time on the Washington Wizards. Washington, you're welcome. I hope we don't have to
it's an interesting team.
About Charlotte. I don't want to talk about Charlotte for that long.
Okay. I actually had the Pistons next, but I kind of feel like I want to flip those. I haven't decided. I've been posting my
Charlotte
predictions.
Charlotte is definitely bottom of the barrel, even if their record may not be as an organization for bringing Miles Bridges back with nothing, blah, blah. They're just a trash organization, and I want nothing to do with them.
Is there any word? Has anything happened with him since he like threw the billiard balls at the windshield? Has there been any movement?
He turned himself in. And then,
had known that this whole time?
I think so. I think he turned himself in and then was at the practice facility the next day. Regardless, all the stuff that's going on, I think the hottest thing that was going on with the Hornets was the Kai Jones situation, which I honestly feel bad for that dude. Like, yeah, he brought a lot of that on himself, but everyone is piling on him. They should have been piling on Miles Bridges like that. That's the energy. Instead, this guy who's clearly like maybe not all together is getting ripped on the internet. Yes, he was a big talker, but it's like build your brand, Kai Jones. I support you.
Yeah.
Even though
he's not a bad person as far as we know.
Not at all. He just has infinity money.
He's fucking crazy. Yeah. The guy's lost his goddamn mind. I made a video saying like this is a young athlete going through some manic episode basically, and I feel bad for him because he lost his job doing this. And there were comments like, what if he's just really eccentric? And I'm like, eccentric people that lose their jobs are the fucking psychos under the freeway. Like, that's not just like regular, like he's a goofy funny guy. Like, he was seriously damaging himself.
Yeah, but you know what, still not crazy enough to strangle his girlfriend until she
that's
passed
true.
out.
Miles Bridges is a piece of shit. I hope he burns in hell.
And beyond that, also literally dunked on the so-called number one overall pick, Victor Wembanyama. He literally dunked
Kai
in his
did
grill
that in...
Mm-hmm. Kai Jones is and the only person that can stop Wemby.
100 I think literally we'll come to find that out.
All right, guess clear max space now. Someone's got to get it.
Okay, really quickly, from the most recent thing is 3 hours ago from the Charlotte Observer says Miles Bridges' arrest warrant was months old. Why wasn't it served in Charlotte? So hopefully they throw the book at him and he spends the rest of his life like this, looking through a couple metal pipes and being like, let me out. Okay, Charlotte's done. LaMelo should be back. I have him at 26 wins. I had him like 30-something with Bridges, but yikes. Okay. Next up is the Pistons. Young team. Asar Thompson looks fucking awesome. Crazy defense. Maybe I'm undervaluing them. What do you guys think? Am I going under on like 26-ish wins?
I think this is like the Eastern. I don't know if I believe in them as much as I do in Houston, but this is like the Eastern version of the Rockets. It's going to be a lot of young gunners, a lot to prove. They're going to be way better on defense this year than they were last year. I hate to say this because before the season, I believed in them more. Is this like a curtain call for Jaden Ivey if he's not good this year?
He got benched. Asar Thompson's going to start. And I know, love
that's
it.
What I'm saying. Like,
I love what, it.
Oh, wait, what? That's official?
Eating it up. Well, at least in pre, it looks that way. It seems to be Nate, the OG host of the Hoops Devil podcast, lives in Detroit or lives in the Michigan area, and goes to Pistons games. Is pretty in touch, and I texted him like, "Is Ivy benched?" And he said, "It seems to be that way." I love it because after the Kings took Keegan, a bunch of stupid Pistons fans told me that the Kings were dumb. And though, thank you so much for Jaden Ivey. I hope you like Jaden Ivey. I hope you like Dennis Smith Jr. Number two. Enjoy him. Have fun. I'll stop being a salty Kings fan for a second, but there's going to be some competition between young guards in Detroit.
It's not that I don't think Jaden Ivey's good. It's just on this team, there's already like three different players that play his position, probably better than him on this team. Maybe somewhere else Jaden Ivey would be more successful, but I do think, yeah, he has gotten benched in preseason, probably will continue. And this could be like the make or break year if he's really not great for them.
Yeah, for me, I'm less worried about Jaden Ivey. I'm focused on Cade right now. I'm like, this is it for Cade. It has to happen now, or it's just not gonna happen. And if it happens, then maybe they'll be pretty good. If it doesn't happen, probably not gonna be pretty good. Also, I'm not a believer in the Wiseman Bagley reclamation project.
So
I'm just gonna throw that out there. I've heard some excitement on was it on Zach Lowe's podcast? I heard it somewhere recently, and I was like, okay, guys, chill out.
I'm not the biggest believer in the Marvin Bagley reclamation project, but the Wiseman reclamation project. Wiseman's still pretty damn young. Like, I'm not saying he's gonna like be who he was expected to be as like the second overall pick, but he'll definitely have trade value by the time this year is over in Detroit.
I'm out. I've been making Wiseman hate videos. I'm sorry. I've been making my rounds. The thing with Wiseman and the thing with young players in general is people tend to say like, oh, well, he's really young. They have to be young and good, or at least flashes of good. Wiseman is one of the worst players in the NBA. He's an awful defender and he doesn't really add anything on offense. The fact that he's battling for backup center with Marvin Bagley on a team that will struggle to win 30 games is kind of telling. Like, we should really focus on the situation.
I don't know why they went out and got both those guys, because I don't know if they'll actually stand in the way. I want as much Jalen Duren as possible. I love Jalen Duren.
He's great. He averaged like 14 rebounds per game in games he averaged 30 or more minutes.
I don't know. 4 second round picks was kind of nothing to give up for a chance at Wiseman. That's what they gave up to get Wiseman.
Oh, that's what they gave up?
I think it was 4 second rounders.
Trade. It was a good trade.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth a shot. Like, I think, whatever. And like, at the very worst, you'll know by the end of this year, really. So I'm not selling all my stock on Wiseman Island yet.
Do you want the rest of mine?
I might be good with my
phone. Okay, you don't want
to... He could give you a great price.
I'll give you for practically free. All right, and I mean, with the young guards as well, they added Joe Harris and Monte Morris, the Count of Monte Assisto. So there's a bunch of guards in...
Whoa, what is that?
That's his nickname. What a nickname. That's his nickname. It's on Basketball Reference. It's great. And it's to turnover. It's a whole nickname.
What is that a reference to?
Monte Cristo. The book.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God. Someone needs to educate this guy.
Jesus, Pablo.
Is this a movie thing or a real life thing? Oh, okay.
Psychonauts... All right, I'm not going to get into it.
let's also just say, though, Joe Harris signing to the Casuals may sound pretty. Joe Harris sucked last year.
He did, but are you out forever on Joe Harris? Joe Harris reclamation?
Joe Harris was kind of – I'm not saying he can't be fine and serviceable, but, like, Joe Harris was in such a good situation in Brooklyn. Like,
so is
he's open all the time.
So is Shamit. They're sure. They're the same players.
No, they're not. Joe Harris.
Well, Joe Harris is supposed to be better. Yeah.
But just to comment on
did
that.
Did Landry Shamit do anything in the 3-point contest? I didn't think so.
Shamit was really good as like a rookie, if I remember right, like a rookie in first or second year. But outside of that, it's gone downhill.
With Monte Morris, I know we're like nitpicking on backup guards on bad teams, but the Pistons did sign Monty Williams. That's correct, right? As their new coach?
Yes. Highest paid coach in the NBA, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a real coach.
Oh, is he
and
really?
Someone like who might say like who's not here for Ivy's development. And if Ivy isn't better than Monte Morris and they're just trying to win games, like you might see that actually happen where with Dwayne Casey and whoever that and whoever else, them and management were okay with like playing young guys and just losing games, but maybe not anymore. So the clock is ticking on guys like Wiseman, guys like Bagley, guys like Ivy.
Is Monty Williams a good coach? That's the question. Because if we look at the Suns exclusively, you might think, sure, he's a fantastic coach. But if you look at his tenure before the Suns, it was highly questionable.
Where was it? Was he New Orleans New with Orleans. Chris Paul?
He had a couple good years, but mostly was a very Schmid coach. And I love Monty Williams. Monty Williams, great dude. Awesome dude. Is he really going to elevate this Pistons team? I don't know. I don't think so. But hey, what do I know?
Yeah, I don't know either way, really. Because I know he got kind of like, there was a kind of pushback in the media this summer where they were like, oh, he's one of those coaches who has guys. And so DeAndre Ayton wasn't his guy. And so he just kind of like checked out of DeAndre Ayton. And so I wonder if that's true or if that was just like DeAndre Ayton told his friend that and his friend told someone else that. So I don't know.
I'm on the Monty Williams side over the dominating side. I'm on Monty Williams side about that. I do think every coach has guys for sure. I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think in terms of development, I'm not like Monty Williams is the development guy. I think he's the guy that like you bring in when you got like a bunch of the stars to kind of be like the easy going whatever. But what do I know?
We'll see. We will find out the hard way. No one knows jack shit about coaching. Like coaching is when talent doesn't equal wins. That's bad coaching. That's all we know. That's as far as we can get. The rest of the stuff we're just twiddling our thumbs about. But we'll move on to the next team. My 12 seed, although I want to ask Pablo about this. Pablo, you sent over your predictions and you had the Raptors near the bottom. I had them as a 33 win 12 seed. Where's your head at?
Honestly, it's just I kept going through the teams and there were other teams I was like, oh, there's a reason to be excited about them. There's them, there's them. And then they just kind of ended up down there. And I was like, well, the talent on the roster probably indicates that they'd be better than that. So my official position will be, they're just going to blow it up. That's how my ranking will make sense. I don't know if they'll actually do that. They've been talking about moving Pascal for years. I don't know. Maybe this year it finally happens. But I don't know. They're a weird group because on paper they looked awesome. And then last year happened. And now they all just kind of feel like a little bit stale. And so I don't know what to think about them. Maybe they'll be really good. Maybe they got Dennis Schroeder, right? So he's off the World Cup champion boost. Maybe he'll carry them to new heights. But overall, I feel like this could be the year where Pascal is moved and OG is moved, and then they're like, we're giving up.
They are definitely not moving the literal best asset in the NBA, OG Anunoby, who's literally untouchable for any player. Will not be put in. You don't understand the potential of OG Anunoby to get any star in the NBA. This is like the Masai Ujiri thing is confusing to me because he is like the Billy Bean of the NBA to me. He's like the all thinking, all knowing, smart moves going international, beyond international for assets.
Intergalactic?
He has his fingers in all these different pies around the world. I always feel like I trust in Masai Ujiri, especially like post Nick Nurse hiring, they win the chip. I'm like, all right, I'm never doubting this guy. He's such a smart dude. And then I'm like, yeah, last year you kind of tried to outsmart yourself too much, you know, not making any moves. For me, if they suck early on in the year, the Raptors are potentially, like you just said, like a parts shop. Like, I do think they will blow it up. I don't know who the core is anymore. I'm like,
they have Dick.
They do have Dick, who literally they will never trade just for the jersey sales alone. It's going to be the highest selling jersey in the NBA.
Yeah. Do you guys like Dick or do you love Dick or what do you think about?
Huge
what
fan.
What do you think?
Huge fan. I think Dick has a lot of potential, you know?
I go up and down on Dick. Because sometimes I love Dick, but then other times I'm like, the defensive limitations are kind of a lot. But yeah. I don't know. I think hopefully Dick will be good this year.
There's moods that you're in, like where some days you're like feeling like, okay, yeah, I definitely want Dick. And then there's other times where you see it and then you're like,
high on Dick, then you get down on Dick. I don't know. It's just life.
It's a rookie year. It's a rookie year for Dick. So
yeah, hey. Dick is still growing.
North of the border.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Good work, guys. I'll see you guys next time. you can find us through the Civil Podcast. With the Raptors, now when we did our whatever division the Raptors are in, because divisions don't matter, preview, about a month ago at this point, I had the Raptors like 30 wins, and I got pushback from Nate and Dylan because they said with adding like Jalen McDaniels and Schroeder, they actually might be still like a top 10 defense. They were last year. They might just do that again. I think they'll be a top 10 defense and a bottom 10 offense, which is probably closer to 500. But I just am so uninspired. And I'm totally there with Montaigne's point about Ujiri, where he's clearly very connected. I love the Billy Beane baseball reference. But at some point, you have to like get value for the picks you're making. Because if like OG is a really valuable asset, I don't think he's going to be the player they think he's going to be. And he's just going to walk like Van Fleet. Everyone's just going to leave. Like when they didn't sell last year and they went in for Jakob Poeltl, my head exploded. I couldn't believe that that's the direction they were going. And that here they are. Like they want 44 wins so badly. They'll do anything for it.
Also, you're saying they're going to be like a top defensive team again. I don't know, man. Nick Nurse is gone.
That's a good point.
I don't know if they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be so good defensively. Like, I think maybe they'll be better atmosphere because I don't think a lot of the guys in that locker room loved Nick Nurse by the end. But I don't think they're going to be like as hardworking on defense this year. Personally,
I really got to start writing down the coaching changes because that is very important. You always catch those. Do you have any other things on the Raptors?
No.
Nope. All right.
We like Dick.
Love it. All right. My 11th seed is the Nets at 35 wins. I'd like to point out something very important is the Nets do not have their pick this year. They have no incentive to blow it up right now. They have no incentive to tank. Mm. So looking at their offseason, they lost Seth Curry, lost Joe Harris and Patty Mills and Yuta Watanabe, added Darius Bazley, Harry Giles, maybe Dennis Smith and Lonnie Walker. Oh. I'm still not sure. I wrote these down when the rosters weren't final. And so if they have made some cuts since then, I apologize. Last year they were 13th on defense and 17th on offense. Half the season with Durant, Kyrie, half the season without. Mikal Bridges looks great. My big thing was after the trade deadline, they were a bit below 500. They lost basically all the shooting they had, replaced it with Ben Simmons. And I think they're going to be pretty mediocre. Not fun mediocre, but hey, that's kind of fun mediocre.
Oh, I think they're going to be so much more fun this year than they were last year. Sure. Like Ben Simmons, like you're saying, yes, they traded all their shit. Ben Simmons this year is a completely different player. I'm not even saying that I love Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons is going to add a dimension to this team just in terms of like pure transition. That's just going to be so much fun to watch. I talked about this with Pablo before in players that I'm investing in. I'm big on Cam Johnson. I think Cam Johnson had a great Team USA year. I don't think he really got going with the Nets until like the end of last year. They'll have like a full season to kind of work. Also, there's just going to be a way better vibes team, man. They have no more fucking drama. No one cares about the Nets anymore. Their real fans will actually go to the games. It's just going to be good vibes. They're going to be like in New York. No one's going to be talking about them. They're not going to have someone leaving the team every 5 minutes.
Mikal Bridges is going to be doing the gun.
Mikal Bridges is literally the most reliable dude in the NBA. Darius Bazley, biggest Roddy Rich fan in the NBA. You put those two things together. You ever see like those Nets videos where they're like, finish the song lyric, and he always finishes it with like the...
Oh, I didn't know this. I got to add this.
Yeah, Bazley.
Hey, the box, man, the box.
He's literally... He loves that song, Die Young. You know that one that's like, I ain't trying to die young, so I got to ride with one. Okay,
I don't know that one.
I'm on the wrong podcast right now. But anyway, I don't know if they're going to be like the D'Angelo Russell Nets, like that level of good vibes, but it will be the first time since that year that it'll actually just feel good to play for the Brooklyn Nets. So I do like this team. Great league pass team. I kind of agree with where you have them in the standings, even though they have no incentive to lose. Cool.
I'm interested just as like a Nets fan, imagine watching KD, Kyrie, and Harden being like, who knows when these guys will ever play? And all of a sudden, Mikal Bridges plays every single game. You're like, this is great. Like, just better vibes in Brooklyn. Anything else to add on them?
No, I just they're probably going to be nasty defensively, but offense could be a grind. But if Mikal Bridges looks like he did when he got traded there all the time, and Ben Simmons looks like old Ben Simmons, maybe it'll be a little better.
Their front court's just too thin. Or their center position specifically, with they have Claxton, who's great.
Don't body shame Nick Claxton.
No, sorry, not thin, like, but like they just don't have a player. Who's their backup center?
I have no clue. Who? Yeah,
I think it was Giles, but I don't know if he made the roster.
Hey, he was like the number one recruit for a reason before his legs fell off. So maybe this is the year it'll happen.
And Nick Claxton also is a huge fan of himself defensively, and he's a big I think he felt like he was super slept on last year. I actually do think what you just said about them defensively is going to be really fun. It's going to be a really good team, honestly. And if Ben's right now, we're valuing Ben Simmons down here. His stock could not be lower. He was horrible last year. He's just kind of been out of the spotlight, you know?
And don't forget, Montaigne, your boy, Dorian Finney-Smith.
I mean, how could I forget? Literally second best Mavericks player since 2011.
The centers, the backup center is De'Ron Sharpe.
Oh, he's tall.
Yeah, yeah. They got check. Any more boxes you want to check? The center is tall.
All right. Wait, he's tall in the NBA?
Whoa.
Oh yep.
That's crazy.
And the word sharp on those Brooklyn jerseys. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool jersey.
You're going to be seeing a lot of Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith power forward minutes, which is totally fine, but it's an interesting kind of shorter team. We're in the play.
Who is the defensive weak link on that five? That actually is such a sick defensive five.
Well, who are they starting at point guard?
Let's just say Ben Simmons, Dodo. Okay, let's say Dinwiddie's actually an okay defender, but let's say it's Ben Simmons, Dodo, Cam Johnson, or Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Nick Claxton. That's a lock up five.
Well, I don't know if Cam Johnson is locked down, is he?
No.
I mean, him being the worst defender in that five is pretty.
Yeah,
right.
You could have things a lot worse.
If I had a bet on a stat line like to happen, I don't know what the odds would be, but I would just go Cam Thomas will have a 50-point night this season where he has zero other counting stats. No rebounds, no assists. I think it's possible with this lineup, but we'll move on. We're officially in the play-in. I'm sorry, Pablo. The Chicago Bulls at 38-44. They lost Patrick Beverley, Derek Jones, and Javonte Green. Added Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. They drafted no one of consequence. Where are we at?
I would just wish they would just blow everything up. Give DeMar to the Clippers. I'll sell him at a discounted rate, severely discounted. Give Vucevic to the Grizzlies. Give Zach LaVine to Miami. Give everyone someone. I'll give away people for free. I just want my suffering to end. I want to be bad this year. I want to be in the lottery next year, and I want to be in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes for 2025. There's no other path forward for this team. We're so mid. We suck. I hate it. We're in purgatory. Move on.
Wait, but don't you have what's going on with the draft this year? There's really no one that you should really be. What's
Cooper
the point of not tanking?
Is,
this
wait,
year?
Is that
tank
this year?
For Cooper?
Well,
is that next
no,
year?
Cooper's next year.
Yeah, weird.
Cooper's next year. Alex Sarr, baby, Alex Sarr. Evan Mobley with a jump shot. It's too early, but people are saying it.
People are you, and they're saying it.
I don't know. It could be God speaking through me. Did you consider that?
I had posted about just records and standing predictions and whatnot, and I got a few comments saying like the Bulls should be higher if they have three all-stars, and I'm like, gotta stop convincing yourself that these fringe all-stars are worth it, especially Vucevic.
How many years removed are we from the Vucevic Eastern Conference Center all-star
three?
Inclusion
with like the year he got traded he was an all-star still, but it's because it's the East and it's because the center position it was weak and he kind of snuck in, but it's
and he shot 40% from three one time and we were like, wait, this is the first time he's ever done that, he'll probably do it forever, let's get him.
So we have kind of, you entering this play-in discussion, we have kind of entered the bottom rung of teams that are fucked, because the East is extremely top heavy, and if you kind of, we'll get there eventually, but if you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, they're at the high end of this level of shit, this pile of shit in the Eastern Conference. Not that the teams are bad, but they're bad because they're just too good to be that bad that their fans are like sucked in. But if you would pay me money to choose between the Sixers and the Bulls situations, I'm choosing the Sixers because at least they're actually good and don't have to convince themselves that, like you said, they have fringe all-stars. The Chicago Bulls, one of the worst NBA situations, just a horrible situation. Honestly, I don't feel the least bit bad.
They'll have the ability to trade out of this. Like, I think I could picture this going from, wow, the Bulls turn Vucevic, LaVine, and DeRozan into eight picks and these young players and holy shit, Chicago's back. But it's possible. Like, we just have to see the trades go through. You might ask yourself, well, who wants those players? Are not very exciting.
Yeah, who
like,
does want those players?
Pablo mentioned like the Grizzlies, the Clippers, teams that are desperate. If Miami gets off to a slow start and you start looking at LaVine and stuff like that, the best trades are made when a team has to win games. When the teams are desperate, you go after those guys.
I will lose the trades. I don't care. I'm happy to lose the trades.
Maybe Vucevic to the Grizzlies in some capacity. There's not, the Heat are not a dumb organization. They're not trading for Zach LaVine. They have no, they already have Zach LaVine cheaper than Tyler Hero. They're good.
Could you get like,
whoa!
Could you get like two picks though? Like a first and a protected first? Like, would you do that? Like, just to say like, hey, I have these picks now.
No, okay. They don't operate like that.
All right.
If Zach LaVine maybe were a bigger star, I could say that.
The Sixers. Gas the Sixers. Yeah. Hey, we'll do LaVine for, I don't even know, for PJ Tucker and five bursts.
We're suffering regardless in Philly with the Sixers. You just trade us whatever. We'll suffer with them.
All right. Now, I'll take Paul Reed. This is an interesting thing. Where are you guys at with the Heat? Because I had them, obviously, I had them as a, in my power rankings, like 12th, I think, like 12th. But in the for regular season, just a 40-win 9 seed. They sucked in the regular season last year. Am I still terrified of their playoff potential? Sure. But overall, they lost Udonis Haslem. They lost his seat on the bench. Oladipo, Strus, Gabe Vincent, Zeller.
Wait, they lost Udonis? Oh, no.
Kevin Love and Yurtseven. And they added Thomas Bryant and Josh Richardson. Mm-hmm. They drafted Jaime Hawkins Jr.
And RJ Hampton?
I'm not counting it yet. Not counting it yet. Doesn't not count. That didn't happen. Didn't happen yet.
What do you mean it didn't happen yet?
I'm not counting it. It's like preseason shit. I don't know. I'm not bought in. Are you bought in?
I'm bought in because everyone online is saying new Gabe Vincent just dropped RJ Hampton highlights.
Oh God.
I'm totally kidding. I refuse to entertain this shit.
The reason I agree with your take, because I think in the regular season, the Miami Heat kind of figure out how to develop the playoff rotation. That's all they give a shit about is like, who's going to be the eight guys and how much time are we giving them? How much trust do we have? So I do think it'll be like regular season will be a little testing. I do also think, though, besides the fan base, this team is severely underrated right now. Everyone's shitting on them for not getting Dame. The Celtics and the Bucks are the top of the East and the Heat are bozos, and they still have Jimmy Butler, man. They still have like a pretty solid team. They're going to work harder defensively than most teams in the East. They have probably the second best coach in the NBA. I don't know.
Yeah.
However you want to rank it. For me, the second best coach in the NBA. I believe in it. I just believe in the Heat culture, man. So I think they'll be better than you're thinking. But maybe for the regular season, I can at least understand where you're coming from.
I do too. I think there's a chance that this is the year where they like start caring again about the regular season, where they're like, all right, that was a little bit too much of a close call last year. We got to get in there. But even if they barely scrape in there, it's like, how many years are they going to do this where they're like, oh, we don't care that much about regular season. We're going to pop off in the playoffs. I'm not going to bet against them. I think Jimmy and Bam are... for whatever reason, we don't think of them as being like one of the top duos in the NBA, but that's what the results say. So I think they'll be good.
And Hero has a big chip on his shoulder. Everyone has been shitting on Hero. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm not the biggest Hero guy.
I'm a Hero doubter.
I get it. You can doubt Hero.
But he will be healthy.
But yeah. I'm just saying, he'll be healthy for the first time in a little bit. Also, he's been in every trade rumor. He's pissed off. He's going to fucking play hard. Everyone thinks he's not that good because he hasn't played in a little bit. He has to remind people. So I do think they'll have that. I really do trust in Jimmy and Bam. I think both of them are fantastic. So I think that them with the addition of Hero finally back.
Okay, hey man, but Hero played out regular season. He got hurt in the playoffs.
Right, but I'm just saying the erasure of Tyler Hero. Everyone all summer has been saying Tyler Hero sucks. Yeah.
Who are we talking?
Did he? How many games did he play? I really have no memory of him last year. Wait, was he struggling before he went down?
Let me see. I know he played early on.
What's the news with Tyler Hero?
He played 67 games, 20 points, 5 boards, and 4 assists. He led the league in free throw percentage last year. Did you know that? Hero facts.
He had like 90, like his in-conference free throw percentage at Kentucky was like 90-something percent.
And he can't make them. He can't swim, so he has to play basketball. That's why he doesn't get distracted in Miami. All he has is clubs and basketball. He can't go in the ocean.
Have you seen his little brother? He is just a clone of him. He looks identical to him. It's bizarre.
His little brother is him. Notorious DM slider. I will just say that. I've heard.
How old is his little brother?
I think he's like a year away from college.
Okay. I thought he was younger than that.
Sliding in multiple people's DMs that I know.
Oh, that you know.
Confirmed.
Wait, As in girls or just like famous people like, yo, what's
up? No, girls,
it's
girls.
Me.
Oh, he's okay. He's, that's his grind, man. That's his game right there.
Distracts.
Off the court.
He's not a Heat player.
Off the court too, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, and I won't hate because the ones that hate him the most look just like, wait a second. Is, oh my God. Was that song about they look identical? Do they hate each other?
Okay, Aaron, right, well, Aaron missed that reference. That was in reference to a Jack Harlow song called, say it.
Tyler Hero.
I missed
called
it.
Tyler Hero. There
I
you
missed
go.
It.
It's a song about a white Civil War. You'd love it.
All right. Oh, wow. Okay. All right, yeah, sure. I'll check it out. Okay, moving on. I have the 8th seed as the Orlando Magic. 42 wins. They lost Bull Bull. An MCW, Michael Carter Williams.
Oh, no.
And they added Joe Ingles. They drafted Anthony Black and Jet Howard. Basically the same team from last year. Joe Ingles is there to hit some threes, help with their spacing. They're going to be playing the rookies a lot of minutes. It's going to be a super young team. But I do see them making that jump from 34 wins to 42 wins. Where are you guys at?
The Heat are better than the Magic. Stop.
Florida War. Florida
so.
War.
Yeah, I'll put nothing on it, but my dignity. I'll put.
Wait, you think Orlando's better than
I
Miami? And just for regular season finish, or just as a team?
Ooh, definitely regular season finish. I mean, playoff, like the Heat have that experience. They'll beat the Monstars if they had a chance at it. Orlando still has to prove that, but I think the Magic are going to be really hungry and really talented, and they have more depth than Miami. I mean, like Miami lost like 7 guys that contributed to like 40% of their
minutes. How many years have I been hearing this Orlando fucking BS? All right.
I wonder what I had him last
well,
year.
So
also, in blue line over there, Jonathan Isaac. I don't want anything
hell
to do with
yeah.
that guy. Hell yeah, brother. I don't want anything to do with that team. Get me away from Orlando.
It really comes down to the young guys and how much you believe in them. How much do you guys – so people talk about Franz Wagner as if – do people think he's going to become a superstar? Because I like Franz Wagner, but
people
I'm,
think he's so good.
I'm in the camp of like he might top out around like a Chris Middleton neighborhood level of impact, but I'm not expecting him to be like a franchise player for them. Do you guys think he's going to be a superstar?
He's like the Tom Thibodeau wet dream player. You know what I mean? Like someone who's like crushing tape till 4 a.m. with no wife and no life. They're like Franz Wagner is the most underrated player in the NBA. The only reason he's underrated is because he plays in a small market. He's a great player. Anyone who watched him in the World Cup sees he's great. But yeah, he's not. This is where people get the term elite misconstrued. He's not elite at that level. There's 30 better players in the NBA easily than Franz Wagner.
I'm sure.
I don't even know how many players. You don't think so?
Well, I don't think he's top 30. I think his ceiling is like, like 13.
No, but I'm
NBA.
Saying if you're. If you're not top 30, you can't be called elite. Elite is like, that word has to mean something. You can't be elite at something and not be in the top 30 of it in the league. No way.
And he could be. Like, I think him and Paolo have similar ceilings. I don't know. Paolo's
good,
man.
Yeah, when it comes to Paolo, I'm lower than everybody. And I was watching film of him this summer to try and get like a more concrete idea about him. And it's still just murky for me because I wasn't super into him coming out of Duke. I was like, oh, I don't really buy the passing that much. I think defensively, he's a little bit tough because he can't protect the rim at all, even though he's like gigantic. He just doesn't, he doesn't want to, or he doesn't move like that. He's not built for that. And then I don't know how well he's going to hold up on the perimeter. And so I think he's his future is very scoring dependent. And so you need him to be this big time scorer. But at Duke, he was not an efficient scorer. And then he came to the NBA and he was not an efficient scorer. But there's one big saving grace for him. And that's that he got to the free throw line 7 times a game. And I'm like, oh my God, that is way too much for a rookie. So maybe he is just this physical force of nature that'll be able to live at the rim and have like top the league level efficiency because of that. And maybe he will be a good enough scorer to warrant everything else. But I don't see the picture as clearly as everybody else.
He also does have a massive chip on his shoulder that neither of you guys have mentioned, which is that at the F1, he got mistaken for Patrick Mahomes. And that killed him. And then this year he went back to the F1 and he was like, now we know who you are, Paolo Banchero. But next year when he goes to the F1, I have a feeling it's going to be an even crazier interaction.
What are you anticipating?
I just think Paulo Banchero is going to be so famous by that point because this is going to be the year. I'm just kidding. Heat in five. And I don't believe in this. I don't believe. Listen, they can make a little jump. They didn't really make any crazy changes. Paulo could be a little bit better, but everyone above them in the East also retooled and got better, including, I think Miami is getting Hero back. I trust them more. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
I was going to note last season, I predicted the Magic to win 22 games.
What did they win?
34. So, that was off then. So, if Magic
fans don't listen to this hater, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
If the trends continue, though, win.
But that's what you're doing. See, you're overcompensating games. For last year. You're Maybe. Overcompensating for last year's guess. Yeah. You're trying to.
I hadn't checked on these here. Previously. I had the Raptors at 45. That's pretty spot on.
Magic winning 36 games this year. Book it, folks. Ouch. You heard it here.
All right, we'll come back to it. We'll move on.
A blue wave is coming.
Another
boys.
Very similar team, the 7-seeded Pacers. Another young team won 35 games last year. I have them again at 42 wins. They lost Chris Duarte, O'Shea Brissett, George Hill, that counts, James Johnson. And they added two guys I really like, Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin. Drafted Jairus Walker. The vibes are good. The vibes are good in Indiana. They're building something here. What do you guys think?
Okay, another team that is so much not better than the Heat.
I'm going to be here when they will be, and I'll sit on this
They
podcast.
Will be arguably more fun to watch than the Heat because it is kind of those, what is he building in their team?
They're better.
They got a lot of great. They're definitely not better. They're definitely not better. You can go player for player. They're 100% not better than the Heat. But in terms of you saying maybe they're more well-rounded than the Heat, I will hear that argument. But Duarte is actually pretty damn good, as you know. The Kings.
It matters for regular season records. Come playoff time.
So you'd rather have Halliburton, Mathurin, who healed, than Butler, Hero, Bam? Get the fuck out of here.
It's the Heat's. The Heat's like 6 through 10. It doesn't exist right now. And they have to like figure that out, and they're going to figure it out really slowly with a lot of trial and error. I mean, last season they signed like Kevin Love. So it's been a week in Frankenstein's lab, like bringing him back to life. It takes a week to bring dead bodies back to life.
So you think, you even just said this to me, the second best coach in the NBA, presumably, we'll just say a top five coach, Eric Spoelstra, versus Rick Carlisle is going to have a better team with worse pieces than the Heat? No way.
I think the Pacers will be hungry. I thought that with Halliburton last year, they were a little over 500. I think they'll just repeat that again.
Okay.
I appreciate it, though. Listen,
I hope you're right. I do think this is the Eastern Conference league pass champion potential. This could be one of the most fun teams to watch in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think they're better than the Heat by any means.
I think Obi Toppin will catch a between the legs alley-oop at some point this game from half court, and I will be there when it happens.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Mathurin because we'll have a more clear picture this year. And he's another guy who got to the free throw line at like a crazy rate. And so I think we'll find out this year if he's like legit star going forward or if it's like, oh, this guy will probably be our Jordan Clarkson. But either way, as in like for how far they could go in the playoffs, I don't think they're above the Heat, but maybe they could finish above them in the regular season.
That's right, Matt. Reasonably. I have tied them 2 wins in the regular season ahead of the Heat. And then in like the, I think 20th, like 19th and 20th in the power rankings compared to 12th for the Heat. So I think we're all pretty close to the same page, but we'll move on. Now we're kind of done with the mediocre teams. We're on to teams that are actually pretty good. One team that's a complete disaster we'll talk about first. Now I have the Sixers as a 44-win 6th team. They're 6th seed. Now this is just kind of like, I don't know what the James Harden situation is. If they just don't play with him for a month, that's just a Hardenless Sixers team. They won't be as good. If they figure it out, if they make a trade and get going, it's a 52-win team again. They win 50 games again. But you underestimate how hard it is to win games when there is a player like actively quitting. Because that's all you talk about. You play a game, hey, where's James? You play 2 games. What happened to James Harden? You drop 50 points on 100% shooting, and Embiid is like league MVP favorite. What do you ask after the game? Where's James Harden? It's a huge distraction.
All right. Welcome to Montaigne is going to teach the casuals ball real quick, all right? So any real Sixers fan who watched Harden last year understands that Harden is a regular season merchant. Yes, he led the league in assists. Yes, and he did all of these things not because he makes everyone around him better, not because he cared about getting open buckets. He did it because he knew it would give him better negotiating power for this future contract, which Daryl Morey is not giving him because he's not stupid. Now, in terms of what they could trade for James Harden, if they do get the Terrence Mann, Norm Powell picks package, which is not happening because Terrence Mann is apparently the new OG Anunoby off the table, best asset in the NBA.
He's untouchable.
I actually do think, as much as I love the Sixers, the Clippers are very smart for not doing that. I would not give up Terrence Mann, Norm Powell, and picks, even though casuals seem to think Terrence Mann's a 27-year-old, 9-point-a-game player. It's like those two are alone without the picks are probably more valuable for a team than James Harden is. Like you put those two on the Sixers, the Sixers are a 50-win team. This is what I'm sick of, the agenda that James Harden's a star. Now, I heard Bill Simmons make this point. This is what I do think the Clippers need to trade for James Harden for. They have a new arena. You're not selling tickets for a new arena next year. Come see Norm Powell in these second-round picks. You're not getting people in the door, all right? You need stars like James Harden, and Philly knows that they need that. I honestly think if they can negotiate for just Norm Powell in the picks, as a Sixers person, I would take that like that. Not that Harden's not way better. Just get that shit away from my team. Let everyone work hard. I do think you kind of have him in the right spot, though.
I'll tell you what. If they manage to trade James Harden for Norm Powell and Terrence Mann in a first-round pick, I would move them up to a 51-win four seed.
100%.
Well, what Morey said was that he already has deals lined up to trade Terrence Mann for a first-round pick. So I think what they would do is use whatever picks they got to try and get somebody else. I don't know who else they would get, but I think that was their goal.
God,
is Damian Lillard available?
Oh, maybe.
Who?
Because they fired Terry Stotts. Maybe he wants out.
Run it back. Go get him again.
Clippers, they just need to go and get DeMar. Like, if in my expert opinion, maybe give all the picks, all the players you have left for DeMar. Couldn't hurt.
I'd pay
definitely not.
I'd pay anything for an unprotected Clippers first in 2030. That's guaranteed pick 1 through 2. Like, that's gonna be one of the best picks in the league. Do you have any other notes on the Sixers?
I really want those trades with the Clippers to happen. James is just going to make himself look like a fucking idiot. I don't want to hear that James Harden's away from the team and it's a huge distraction. Everyone else on the team is a fucking adult. They show up to work. PJ Tucker, Joel Embiid, Pat Bev, they're all adults. Now, Pat Bev actually has a little complication here because he basically grew up in the NBA with James Harden on his team. So he's a little bit personally biased in favor of James when he went on his podcast and was like, James was actually cooking everyone in practice. Pat, relax. Anyway, I want James away from this team. Unless he's fully in for the year, get him away. I don't want any bullshit. If you want to spend the year in a club or go to Europe like Ben Simmons did, go ahead. Leave me alone. Just let us suffer in peace. That's my
opinion. Yeah, I don't think he'll play for them this year. But even if he doesn't, I think they could still have a good, decent record because of just Embiid heavy lifting. Now, can he hold up doing heavy lifting? I don't know about that. But also, this Harden absence, I'm warning you guys now, it may open up a spot for a Jaden Springer emergence. So the nerds have been counting on this for years now. They've been saying Jaden Springer's so good, he needs to get there, and then now he's shooting 90% from three in the preseason, playing insane defense. So maybe Jaden Springer happens. But either way, if you're a Sixers fan, I'm nervous because I'm like, we're gonna lose Joel Embiid at some point. So maybe I'm firing up the trade machine already.
We also lost as a Mavericks fan, but my family are all Sixers fans. As a Sixers sympathizer, I'll say, they did lose the winningest player in the 2020s in George Niang. So,
most attainable NBA bot. He inspires the fans.
Any real Sixers fan knows that that's actually a win. But for all the people who just count the winning stat, sorry for your loss, guys.
I liked Niang for the Cavs. The Cavs didn't have much shooting, and here it is. But move on. Interesting team. We're in transition. There's a big gap.
Can I predict your next team?
Sure.
Is his next team the New York Knicks?
It's not. I'm sorry. Wow. It's not.
Oh my God.
Any other guesses?
No, that was my only guess. Now I don't want to spoil the rest of it.
The next team is the 5 seed at 45 wins is the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Hawks sold Trae Young, DeJounte Murray revenge tour with Quinn Snyder. This was purely a Quinn Snyder pick. Quinn Snyder knows how to run good offense. He will get this team running better offense. They were pretty average on offense last season. I don't have the number in front of me, but they lost John Collins. Just finally, not that he was a bad player necessarily, but it's good just not to have that hanging over their head. And they added, for what it's worth, Wesley Matthews and Patty Mills, which adds some shooting. And that's what Quinn Snyder does. His team's hit
one
threes.
One of those people definitely adds shooting, for sure. I don't know about the other
one. Hey, we'll take 1.2 players worth of shooting. This is a Quinn Snyder pick. How do you guys feel?
I'm all about it. If he gets Trae Young to play off ball, then this is completely realistic. Off ball Trae Young could be one of the best 5'10" offensive players in the entire NBA. He's fantastic. And then if everyone, they have a bunch of guys who should be good at certain things, and last year they were not good at those things. Like DeAndre Hunter, kind of a fake 3-and-D guy, but if he becomes a real 3-and-D guy, that's nice. I love Onyeka Okongwu. I don't love the DeJounte Murray Trae Young synergy, but if Trae Young plays off ball, I think that enhances DeJounte Murray. And so it all depends around Trae Young. Is he gonna change things, or is he gonna make things stagnant? So
I disagree. They literally lost their second best player in Cam Reddish. So they're going to be garbage. No, I'm kidding.
Anthony Edwards said he was the hardest guy to guard when they were 15. So
that's on his resume to this day, clearly. I know we have two certified Cam Reddish haters. I think the Hawks will be a little bit lower than where you have them. I think for the roster they have, their roster is fairly weak compared to every team we just named behind them. But they do have better coaching. I do trust Quinn Snyder. Also, Quinn Snyder secretly with the Jazz was always like a way better second half coach than a first half of the season coach. Like the Jazz kind of sucked ass in the beginning of most of their regular seasons when they were good. And then at the end of the season, especially coming up and past All-Star break, they were like winning at the highest clip in the NBA, which is like how they always got like a 5 seed. So I think the Hawks, I don't really know what I think about the Hawks. I don't have thoughts about the Hawks. Honestly, I don't think about them. Congratulations on having the worst.
You're very nonchalant about the Hawks, but that's what they wanted, right?
Just like, I don't know, man. I like Trae Young. I kind of like DeJounte Murray. I really like DeAndre Hunter, I think.
Clint Capella. That's the Rudy Gobert prototype for Quinn Snyder. But I'll tell you what, the most interesting part about the Hawks is if it falls this way with the standings, they would play in the first round the New York Knicks.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we all want, obviously.
And I want him desperately to turn them into dust again.
I want it back. That was like one of the best playoff series last 10 years.
That was one of the best moments of my life in the past 10 years.
With the Knicks, I had them at 48 wins, one more than last year. They lost Derrick Rose. They lost Obi Toppin. They added Dante DiVincenzo, whose contract I'm not thrilled about. But honestly, as the contract extensions come out, it's whatever at this point. It's all NBA money. And Ryan Arcidiacono.
You had to say it. He got infinity money. All right, anyway.
Hey!
I think these two signings constitute the most letters per signing in offseason history. Dante DiVincenzo and Ryan Arcidiacono. Something to consider.
And the most Italian-American signings possible.
They
as
also
well.
Drafted Jacob Toppin. Because Tom Thibodeau fucking hates the Toppin family and has to have a Toppin to torture his torture victim on the end of the bench just to look at him and say, "You're never coming in this game. I'm never putting you out there, and I can get comfortable on that bench because I'm not putting you in."
You want me to go first or Pablo?
Pablo, go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm gonna say something. Might get people might rustle their jimmies. I don't know. I never have said that phrase in my life. Why did I? Jalen Brunson was he the most efficient isolation player in the entire NBA last year? I feel like there might be a regression to that. I feel like I'm banking a little bit on some Jalen Brunson regression, but overall, I think they'll be a good regular season team and then do nothing in the playoffs because that's just kind of what that roster is built for, and that's Tibbs' entire thing. And so I don't love them, but I think they'll be productive. So.
Dun, 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 the hot take you've all been waiting for. The New Yorker. I am from New York. I'm born and raised. I think Tibbs gets fired midseason. I think they suck initially. And then I literally think There's a chance Tibbs gets let go midseason. I think New York calls for him to get fired, which is weird. It's weird that like Julius Randle's also going to be around, because I also think he's a huge problem. He's the only reason I don't really like the Knicks. Yes, there might be a little Brunson regression, but Brunson was so fucking good that even like a little regression is kind of going to be a little. It'll be fine. It'll be a little bump. Julius Randle, I love Julius Randle, the dude. Just like watching him has to be so frustrating. It's got to be. Because he thinks he's like this guy, and he's so clearly not this guy. And so much of their offense is centered around like his effort level if he's not doing well, that if he's having a bad game, they just suck. They suck so bad.
Are you a dubious handle guy? Do you call him dubious handle?
I don't call him dubious handle. I call him Stephoulias Carandal. As I've seen in those videos. But I do think like Tibbs is severely handicapping this team. This team, I want the Knicks to be good as a New Yorker. Like I don't care about you, but basketball is way more fun when the Knicks are good. And with Tibbs, they're not going anywhere. I don't even think they're going to be a great regular season team. Like maybe I think the four seed is extremely generous for this team. What do they do to get better than last year?
I'd rather have DiVincenzo than Derrick Rose and Toppin.
I guess they have the Wildcat energy. Yeah, they get the Wildcat energy, Villanova. Yeah. I like those vibes and stuff, but the odd man out. The two odd men out got to be grinding the tape till 4 a.m. Thibodeau and Julius Randle. Get Julius Randle off of this team, and I will believe in them so much harder.
Randle has just crazy stats, and he always just kind of sneaks into the All-NBA conversation. But you're right, his body language is terrible.
Was he All-NBA last year?
He was third team last year.
Third team? He just falls in because it's like, hey, this guy averages like 25 and 9. And like five.
Well, because his position in the East is not deep. That's why. It's because they don't pick the five best players for all NBA. They pick positions. Mm. So it's like that limited
with this
the pick in the East.
With this upcoming season, it's not by position. It's just top 15 straight up. You can kick.
Oh, really?
Julius Randle all NBA bids goodbye forever. You'll never have to think about it.
Oh, he's gone. Oh, wow. For sure.
Never going to happen.
He's not even touching. He wouldn't even touch the All-NBA 5th team. Right? I'm telling you that right now.
I'm trying to think of where we had him in our top two, top 100. I think it's closer to 50.
Will the Knicks do good in the in-season tournament?
Oh, yeah. Thibodeau.
Imagine that's like the only ring that New York gets. Like, since what, 1970? When did they win? In 74?
Sometime.
It's 70 and 73.
So since 73, their only ring would be the midseason tournament. That would be so funny for the Knicks.
That's a good one.
And you know what? That might go the longest way towards legitimizing that tournament, because then every Knicks fan will be saying, nope, that's real. That's a championship. So maybe I should root for it.
I just wanted to ask, because now that the Bucks obviously got Giannis, like who is the big whale free agent that New York can claim to have their eyes on when they suck this year?
Probably, well, not free agent, but probably Embiid next. I've already heard the Carl Towns rumors.
All right.
The
so
Carl Towns rumors.
Embiid watch?
Yeah, always.
Embiid watch. Carl Towns is from New Jersey.
Oh my God. Carl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle are basically the same guy. Hot take. Not actually, but like it would be the same vein of player coming into New York. So if you're the Knicks, please don't get
killed. And you know what? I've heard some little bit chatter that the Donovan Mitchell dream may still be alive. I don't know if that's legit or not.
It is legit.
But I've heard it.
Mitchell hasn't re-signed.
That's bizarre.
I think he really wants to be in New York.
Oh, he wants it so badly. Man. So bad. He's a New York dude. What do you mean, why?
Yeah.
I guess, but he's got Darius Garland. He's got Evan Mobley. He's got such a good setup that.
Not saying he doesn't care about basketball like that, but he. Imagine living like up to this level. You make it to the NBA. You go to Utah. Then after Utah, they trade your ass to fucking Cleveland. This kid has never played in a fucking mecca of basketball, and he's from there. Of course, he wants to go to the Knicks.
It's a great point. Okay, we'll move on. From the Knicks to the Cavs, perfect transition right to Donovan Mitchell's current team. They lost Danny Green, Robin Lopez, Chetty Osmond, and Lamar Stevens. RIP to those guys. Added George Niang, Max Strus, the corpse of Tristan Thompson. And they drafted Imani Bates, 49th.
Imani.
What did I say?
You said Imani. Mm. Put some respect on his name.
I had him going up two wins from 51 to 53. I'm kind of banking on a little Evan Mobley development, and they were talented as usual last year and didn't really change much, except for I really love the Strus addition, and even Yang, just more shooting, a little more offensive creation outside of Donovan Mitchell. Pablo, no, Montaigne this time. Go ahead. Mixing it up. Thank you.
It's so nice to be able to talk for once on this podcast, not like I've been talking the entire time. I think, I honestly believe in the Cavs as this kind of regular season juggernaut. I don't believe in them when it comes to the playoffs, but I do think they have the potential. Honestly, they have the best shot to dethrone one of our first or second seed picks. I do like Max Strus a lot coming off that Heat season. I know everyone says, I know you say, Aaron, that don't ever trade for the Miami guys coming off
don't
those runs.
It.
You know,
don't
they're running to the They're running to the ground. But I actually think Max Strus is just a fucking baller. I think they're going to be really fun. I hope Evan Mobley becomes that guy. I want him to be that guy. I think they'll be so much fun. They just have a pretty sick team, to be honest. And it's probably the last year of Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. So enjoy it while it lasts, folks.
Oh, man. I'm in pretty much the same boat. I think they're super duper talented, and they had all the momentum in the world until that Knicks series where they just got bullied by the big men. And so I don't know if that'll continue or if they'll do something to address that or if that was an aberration. But either way, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
I wonder if Evan Mobley is in the wrong era. I mean, I don't have to wonder. I know that his skill set would fit like 2012 better. I was watching Blake Griffin highlights last night. The way they ran offense and like actually like, you know, still through like the game was developing where there was spacing, but we're still doing post-ups in like 2014. I could picture Evan Mobley dominating, but he has to develop his offensive game a little more to be super effective. Cause he was like 15 points per game last year, but it's a pretty ho-hum 15. So I'm looking for that kind of step. Go ahead.
The thing is like, I agree that maybe he should do those things. It's just hard. He has two very ball dominant guards. Like he's always going to be the third scoring option on that team regardless. Like the Garland and D Mitchell are not pass first guys really. And like, I don't know, averaging more than what 17, 18 points a game is really hard as a third option.
It's a great point.
I think his pathway going forward, I don't really expect him to ever be like an isolation scoring threat or post-up guy or anything. I think the pathway forward for him is just role man and then like passing hub. And so I think it's an okay situation, but he does need to get better at that.
Yeah, he's like Bill Simmons' favorite player to deride, you know. Like, so that's a lot to live up to. Because winning that trophy it's better than Rookie of the Year, is the Bill Simmons D-Ride Award. and Evan Mobley has had that definitely 2 years in a row, especially actually rookie year. But like, I do think this year he'll just make a natural jump. He is just kind of that good. I have no questions about him defensively. I don't think any of us do. But like
he's
I said,
a monster.
I think honestly, this might be a hot take, but when Mitchell's gone next year, I think that could be like the Mobley coming out party. Yeah. Where we're like, this is the fucking Mobley year. And maybe the Cavs don't get any worse if they lose Donovan Mitchell because Mobley is just that good.
I love that you're just like, this might be a hot take about Evan Mobley, but when Donovan Mitchell's gone for sure.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's exactly Donovan what I was going to say is I think
Donovan Mitchell's gone.
Yeah,
man.
I'd be happy if I'm a Cavs fan because like, well, we're good now. But when Donovan leaves and then Jared Allen leaves, I think Mobley's going to have space for his development. Because right now, like, It's tough for someone who's like 22 to develop on a team that's going to win 50 games, that has two guys that dribble the ball a lot, who score a lot, that has playoff expectations. But I don't think we've talked about a single contender yet. Does anyone disagree with that?
I have one more question about this Cavs team. This is actual hot take incoming. What if, like I said, if the Knicks suck first half of the year, right? And the Knicks are stupid as shit anyway. hear me out, seriously. So if the Knicks suck for the first half and the Cavs come out slower than anticipated and they're like, Mobley's not really developing like we want, do they flip D Mitch to the Knicks mid-season?
The Carmelo trade? The Carmelo 2.0?
Do the Knicks fuck themselves twice in 20 years? That's the thing.
It would have to come from Donovan
That's
Mitchell
what I think.
Pressure.
He has to hate the Cavs enough and be miserable there. The Cavs are like, all right, honestly, he's leaving anyway in the summer. Let's get something for him. So maybe the Knicks don't have to pay as much as they would normally have had to pay mid-season. Could be a win-win. Then Mobley really comes out. Hey, spreading propaganda wholeheartedly.
Little seeds of propaganda. Let's move on. The second seed, I had the Celtics. Actually, going back a little bit, 55 wins and 27 losses. They lost the corpse of Gallinari, what's left of Blake Griffin, Mike Muscala, Marcus Smart, that's important. Grant Williams, that's important. Brogdon and Time Lord also played big roles last season, but they added Jrue Holiday, Kristaps, O'Shea Brissett, and Svetislav Mykhailiuk, which I will pronounce fully every time. And
that was a great pronunciation.
Thank you.
Awards to you.
And they drafted Jordan Walsh 38th, and people have been pretty high on him. Think he's going to get some minutes in the rotation. Nice wing player. I did have him going
Herb Jones.
Maybe I did have him going back two wins just because they're figuring it out. It's going to be a bit of a process in terms of getting all these guys up to speed, and that costs you a little bit.
You want me to talk about them first?
I do. I decided to go. Whoever has a fun Celtics point can jump in.
I think this is the number one seed in the East, personally. Okay. The only reason I'm willing to say maybe they're the number two is the Joe Mazz factor. I'm not a big Joe Mazz guy. I don't think really anyone's a big Joe Mazz guy. But, yeah, I mean, Jordan Walsh, honestly, is a fucking baller. If you actually watch him, he's a defensive hound. He's great. They lose Grant Williams, which is overall for the basketball side of this team, pretty fucking awesome. As for the off-court demeanor, he kind of was like a great like locker room dude. Like everyone loved clowning on him. He's a fun guy. But I do just think this team is just built better for the regular season. I think they're deeper than the Bucks. And the stars have been together long enough. Like what you're saying, they have to work it out a little bit. They have to work together significantly less than the styles of Giannis and Dame meshing throughout a whole regular season for me personally. So I have more faith in the Celtics infrastructure to be the number one seed, but for everyone, I guess it's interchangeable.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they'll be number one seed just because I think it'll take time for the Bucks to because they've been the same group for a long time now, and adding Damian Lillard is a massive change, and like Giannis has not spent a lot of time as a role man, so I think there will be growing pains for them for sure. And the Celtics aren't changing too much. I think they'll be a really good regular season team because they just have so many guys. But I do worry long term about the front court depth. I'm not in love with having Porzingis and Al Horford as like that's it. We have two guys who Al Horford is ancient, and so we don't know when he's going to break down. And then Porzingis, we know that he probably will break down at some point. So.
But here's the counter argument to that. Like, and I totally agree. Like, I don't know if you're a team just building straight up, like if you have Porzingis and Horford that you're like, I feel good about this depth. They just came off of having Rob Williams and Al Horford, and they were good. And Rob Williams is definitely, if not the same, more injury prone than Kristaps Porzingis. Like, he's out all the fucking time. So their front court depth, I mean, Al Horford, I guess, was a year younger. But I have faith right now, if we're just taking everyone healthy, they're going to be so good defensively. They're going to be so fucking good. Oh, my God.
Do they still have Luke Kornet or no?
I think so.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Mm-hmm. The Green Kornet.
That's, you know who else? Oh, wait, never mind.
Nothing else about Luke Kornet. Just, that's his nickname.
he plays in the NBA. I can't deny that. Kristaps is great in the preseason. He hit some nice moves, just shooting over guys. And I loved the Kristaps trade when it happened, just because I felt like the Celtics offense got stale in the offseason or in the postseason with isolation stuff and Jaylen Brown trying to dribble with his left hand and just have the tallest guy in on the team just to stand there and shoot over people. It gives you an extra layer.
Is Porzingis sneaky off-court issue risk because he's an angry white guy who likes to get into fights at clubs and bars, and he's in the mecca of angry white boys who like to get into fights at bars
point.
And clubs?
That's a good point, but no. New York is much more volatile. He'll fit right in as an angry white man in Boston.
They're going to love him.
They're going to love that. They don't actually fight with white men like that there. That's only in New York.
We'll wrap up. Any more Celtics thoughts?
I did have one, but then it was fleeting.
Gone like that, so, dust in the wind. It is interesting because I mentioned the Celtics have it. Go ahead.
I do remember.
Please.
The propaganda of the Jaylen Brown not being able to handle the ball, I was big in opposing that. I was like, you know, all these videos and all this shit. I'm like, God, it's crazy. What is going on with Jaylen Brown? This man is about to earn, what, $260 million, can't really dribble with his left? What happened? He was fine a year ago.
Honestly, I don't know if he's ever been able to, because he came into the league as a complete zero. Like, he was nothing, and he built himself into something, but I guess he just never built up that for whatever reason.
But the left was never
plus he's got tiny hands.
That may be true. He's dealing with a little, like, Kenny Pickett syndrome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Montaigne's a multi-sport talent. Kenny Pickett, hand-sized jokes, Billy Bean references, we're all over the place.
I'm an encyclopedia, man.
Oh, for sure.
Connor McDavid.
I got nothing on hockey. I couldn't help you guys.
Me neither. Guess what?
That's all he has. Just saying, Connor McDavid.
No, my team, the Chicago Blackhawks, we landed the Victor Wembanyama of hockey, Connor Bedard. And guess what? I don't care at all. What does that do for me? Maybe he'll make me care. I challenge you, Connor. He's like 5'8 or 5'9, but he is built. He's built like a Saquon.
No, he's not. Built like Saquon.
He's solid. He's so solid and thick.
Listen, he could be solid. He could be solid. You just picked the most solid built dude to compare him to.
I'm telling you, man.
He looks like Saquon. Now I gotta look this up. We gotta get a picture for the viewers. Well, he doesn't look
like him, but he's just like thick and he has big hockey, quads. Man.
Hockey's an intense sport. You gotta be strong and stocky. We'll wrap up with the one seed. My one seed is the Milwaukee Bucks. They lost Javon Carter. What was left of Goran Dragic and Joe Ingles.
And I gained it.
And Wes, that's Boys, true.
Are you fucking kidding me? Saquon Barkley?
He's in hockey gear. Be nice, Montaigne. Don't body
TikTok,
shame.
TikTok, you better revoke this man's fucking comparison license over here.
Hockey fans, come to my aid. This guy is a hoser. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, I got my accents mixed up.
God help you. Anyway, we're on to the Bucks. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, it's all good. It was Bucks important. You had to clear up the Saquon comparisons. But they lost a bunch of old people, and they also lost Drew Holiday. They traded him, as well as Grayson Allen. But they added Damian Lillard, Malik Beasley, Robin Lopez, Ty Washington, which is honestly kind of an underrated pickup for me because I just would buy low on every Rocket. Not on the Rockets, but once they leave the Rockets, be like, okay, like now I'm interested. I just feel like that situation is so bad. But they also...
The Elon Musk strategy. Mm-hmm. Buy low on every Rocket.
Oh, okay. That's a good line.
There you go.
They drafted and signed... Well, I think he was undrafted, but they signed him. It's Drew Timmy on the Bucks.
Did they really?
Yes,
he made the
29-year-old is going to play some minutes.
Whoa!
Fucking beast.
I think honestly though, like I could see him. I understand why the Bucks would take him. Like he's pretty old. You don't have to develop him. He just isn't for the modern NBA. But if it comes down to it, could he be Robin Lopez for 8 minutes?
No,
8 minutes.
Literally no.
Come on, it's Pablo. Kind of like,
if you would have asked me this like a year ago, I would have said 100%. But then I saw Luka Garza play in the NBA, and I was like, okay, well, these fucking guys get absolutely toasted.
Yeah, it's bad on defense.
And he's tinier than Luka Garza,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's
way more skillful than Luka Garza, though. Mm-hmm. Way more skillful.
That's tricky, but I look forward to Dame Giannis just ripping the league apart. I had him at 63 wins. I don't really care if it's going to take time to develop.
63 wins?
I don't know what everyone else is looking at. They have a guy that shoots from half court and a guy that dunks everything he touches. How you could have 7 guys on defense and you couldn't guard that.
Okay.
It might be an adjustment period defensively for them primarily.
Brooke Lopez and Giannis. Yeah, new coach.
New coach
okay.
alert.
Nah, fine.
Alert.
Fine, new coach. I get it.
Fraud alert. Fired the best assistant that the Mavericks ever had, Terry Stotts. Fraud.
They didn't
alert.
Fire him. He stepped away. He stepped back.
They fired
he was,
him.
He didn't want to. He couldn't. He couldn't stand to coach Dame again. He's like, I just can't do this, guys. Like, I'm sorry.
I love Terry Stotts. By the way, I'm a huge Terry Stotts truther. Respect.
He was throwing. Man. He was throwing fits as a coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, awesome he was guy. Great in Portland and. Just wore out as well.
What about
there.
On the Mavericks? 2011, baby.
Yeah.
Terry Stotts, part of
Oh, was he an assistant then?
Yeah, man.
Ah, championship pedigree.
That's what I'm saying. He knows what it takes. Dame never won a championship.
I feel like you can't tap the Bucks for a new coach, but also, like, they got rid of Budenholzer. Like, everyone, no one liked Budenholzer.
Wait. But we're talking about regular season. Budenholzer's a regular season fucking merchant. That is his thing. He's such a regular season coach.
I just feel like I could coach the Bucks fine and be like, all right, Giannis, you stand on the basket and dunk everything. And Dame, you stand at half court and just shoot it. Then we'll score 120 points a game.
Is this the first time the Lopez brothers have been on the same team? Good vibes. I actually like those vibes.
I think they should go all out to win the in-season tournament so that they get those championship jitters out of the way so that when come June, it's not going to be like an unfamiliar territory for Damian Lillard. He'll have been there. He'll have done that.
Also, all right, hot take incoming. You know me. All right, here it is. Has Damian Lillard ever actually had to make a big shot under real pressure before? Now, I'm
what
not
the
saying
heck?
I'm not. Wait. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that he has not hit game winners in the playoffs. He's always in the playoffs been the underdog. He's always been on the worst team. Never been favored in a series. Really, he's never been the full favorite going into every series. As a Buck, he's going to be the favorite in pretty much every matchup, other than the Celtics. Is he going to be a?
That's interesting.
The underdog?
I think in his game winner over Houston, that was a 4-5 matchup, and I think the Blazers were
Rockets. The Rockets were no. The Rockets were the 3, and the Blazers were the 6 that year. They had Dwight Howard, Chandler Parsons, Pat Bev. They were definitely favored to win that series.
Was Thunder 4-5?
I think Thunder was 4-5.
That was a series that was supposed to be even, but listen,
the Blazers were favored against the Pelicans, and they got their fucking. And they got their asses cooked. Drew Holiday cooked them.
That did happen, but that's a long time ago at this point.
My point is, like, in most of the playoff series he's played in, he's, like, always the guy from Portland, the underdog. He's carrying this team, blah, blah. Now they have all the expectations. Now they're, like, this team. They got the best player in the world. You got everything you asked for. Now it's time to fucking really make those shots. Which I'm not saying he can't do. I'm just saying we've never seen it.
I was wrong, but then Montaigne was also wrong. So the Rockets are the 4 seed and the Blazers are the 5 seed. Change all too much. But you know who averaged 30 points and 12 boards? Or 30 points and 11 boards on 40% shooting?
LaMarcus Aldridge
fucked them up that series.
You know what's so funny? I have a great story about that series. So back in the day, that series was on this thing called TNT Overtime, which... At the time, because I didn't have a way to like stream the NBA if it wasn't a location-based game, and TNT, in order to watch it online for free, they gave you like these weird angles. There was no half-court angle to just watch the game normally.
Oh,
so they either had player cameras or they
had
above the basket cameras. And I watched the entire Rockets-Blazers series from the above the basket camera. Imagine
that is painful. That is painful.
I watched the Dame Lillard game winner from above the basket. How wild is that? It was the worst basketball experience I've ever had in my entire life. I do remember Dwight Howard had, I think, games 2 and 3 were like fucking, he went nuts. But LaMarcus Aldridge, pretty much every time that dude touched a ball in the series, it was a bucket. He was fucking unguardable in that series. The Rockets had no answer for him.
He was.
What a good series.
And game 1 and 2.
That was awesome.
He went for 46 and 18. And then game 2, 43 and 14. Just a monster.
He was killing it, especially from above the basket camera. That was awesome.
Can we do a top 3 power ranking really quickly? Your top 3 teams in the league before we go?
Wait, one last point. One last point. Damian Lillard, newly divorced.
Ooh.
But that's a lot of change at once.
Okay.
All right, top.
That is why he wanted to go to Miami, I think, that came out. Like she wanted to move to Miami.
That's nuts. Okay. Me personally, I had Nuggets, Bucks, Celtics.
Oh, just entire NBA? Okay. I would probably be... I would say Nuggets, Bucks, and then I might swap out the Celtics for someone spicy. I might swap out the Celtics for the Warriors.
Ooh, I had them 4, actually. TikTok hated it.
I have Celtics 1.
Okay.
I don't really know why I'm going to get so much hate on this, but bring it the fuck on. Suns, 2.
I knew you, dude. Phoenix.
Bucks.
Bastard.
Bucks, 3. Celtics, Suns, Bucks.
Celtics, Suns, Bucks. Okay. You've always been high on the Suns. You're gonna die a terrible death about halfway through this.
Booker literally lives his life in vintage. He's literally just a vintage kind of guy. He walks around with a camcorder all the time. I trust him.
Oh, he does?
Did you see that? He went to the Phillies D-backs game? And he just had a camcorder trying to be like Shaq at the fucking All-Star game. And everyone's like, Devin Booker's whole personality is that he rocks vintage shit.
That's a vibe. See, I don't have Instagram, but I'm sure if I was on there, I would just spend all day looking at his page going, man, this guy's cool.
He's so vintage. God.
That's what we're all going to do after this podcast. But guys, it's been great having you. We'll start with Pablo. Pablo, where can the people find you?
Pablo Escobar on TikTok. And then please go watch all my videos and watch at least 5 seconds. That way I get compensated for it. And then go to Hot Tunes TV China NBA YouTube channel. There should be stuff coming soon. But listen, I've been promising stuff all summer. I haven't come through. I'm not a reliable person. So stay tuned. We'll see when it's coming.
And Montaigne, where can the people find you?
You can find me at omontaigne on all platforms, on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. And I don't have Pinterest, actually, but I assume anywhere that's feasible for me to be on, I probably am on SoundCloud, Spotify, Montaigne. But I will just say, keep your eyes out. Obviously, we'll have a lot more content coming during the season. And I will keep Pablo in line to make sure we don't let a cold ever prevent him from recording a fucking podcast ever again.
Montaigne wanted a nose-blowing pod.
Hey, man. Flu game. Flu game, baby.
And you can find me, Possible Chairs, on TikTok, on Instagram, looking at Devin Booker's page saying, man, this guy's so cool, and this podcast all the time. Thanks for listening.